The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, January 14th, 2009. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, the folks at the Andersons and Delphi Climbers, Indiana, will have cash grain analysis. In agricultural news, Canada says it is withdrawing its World Trade Organization complaint against U.S. country of origin labeling laws. We'll have these and other stories this half hour, and we'll have the latest on agricultural weather with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. It's all on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information on WILL is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Taking a look at how prices settled this Wednesday afternoon in Kansas City, March wheat, $6 up 3 May, $6.11 and a quarter up 3. March wheat at the Board of Trade, $5.74 and a quarter up 3.5. May, $5.87 up 3.5. July, $5.98 up 2.75. March corn, $3.66 and a half up 4. May, $3.77 and a half up 4.25. July, $3.87 and 3/4 up 4.25. December, $4.11 and a half up 4.5. February crude oil, $37.20 down 58. February ethanol, $1.57 and a tenth down 1.1. The February RBOB at 117 up 2.1. January beans, 978 up 8.5. March, 971.5 on change. May, 980.25, and they are down a half. July, 990 down 1. August, 989 down 1. November, 955.25 down 7.25. January of 2010, 963 down 7.5. January soybean meal, 296 down 30. March, 297 up $2. January soybean oil, 34 down 60. March, 34.05 down 78. February live cattle, 83.35 down 72.5. January feeders, 95.70 down 65. And February lean hogs, 59.92.5 down 152.5. And those are Wednesday's settlements in Kansas City and Chicago. Taking a more extensive look at the outside markets, March crude oil, the settlement there, 44.19 down 58. March ethanol, 156 and 8/10 down 4/10. February natural gas trading at 4.96 and 7/10 down 21 and 7/10. February RBOB, we gave you earlier, at 116 and 5/10. Yes, and it is up. It's up 1.7. February heating oil, 146.8, down 4.6. February propane, 77.50, up 3.2. And then we look at some of the metals. Silver from March, the settlement at 1047.5, up 20.5. The gold contract for February at $808.80, down $11.90 for the settlement. Mike Sola reminds us that a winter weather advisory for snow and blowing snow is in effect for Champaign, Christian, Coles, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Logan, Macon, McLean, Moultrie, Piatt, Sagamon, Shelby, and Vermilion counties until 6 p.m. this evening and in Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston counties until midnight. A wind chill advisory is in effect for Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, Macon, Moultrie, Sagamon, and Shelby counties from 6 p.m. through noon on Friday, and a wind chill warning is in effect for Champaign, DeWitt, Logan, Macon, Piatt, and Vermilion from 6 p.m. through noon Friday and in Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston counties from midnight tonight and through noon on Friday.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It may be cold outside, but this year's corn and soybeans classic has been relatively hot. And tomorrow is the last day of the classic. It will be held at Kishwaukee College near Malta, in Malta, Illinois, rather. And so everyone there will, you know, all the U of I Extension folk will be there. Daryl Good will be there. Todd Gleason will be there. Weather notwithstanding, walk-ups are accepted at that event. Cost is $65. Joining us now on the phone to talk about the markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave, and the tip of the hat to you on this cold, crisp afternoon.
And a tip of the hat to you, too, and a tip of a hat to the markets, which seems to be trying hard to find some stabilization.
Yeah, well, if we were flying through a snowstorm, we had a lot of distractions from the stock market, the crude oil, the January futures expired today, and the general belief that commodities, particularly at the Chicago Board of Trade, were bearish. The market did note that the extreme dry conditions in Argentina continue to be the focus of everybody's attention. And most of the private meteorologists are basically pretty stingy on the Saturday afternoon weather forecast for about 40% coverage of rain of maybe a tenth to six-tenths of an inch of rain. The markets also noted that a big corn producer, Argentina, and they lightened up on some of their short positions in the corn market as well as the wheat. The beans were rather, stingy with their market rally after the January futures expired, and I think the soybean oil and basically one large soy processing company announced some weak earnings, and I think the bean market struggled for the rest of the day.
So where do we go from here? I mean, after Monday's very bearish numbers from the USDA and then the limit down move, And we've spent the last couple of days trying to find some stabilization. In your estimation, are we finding it despite what might be going on in the outside markets with crude oil and in the Dow Jones?
Yeah, you know. Also, I wanted to go one step backwards and say there was a lot of corn wheat spreading and corn bean spreading in the marketplace today. I think your question hit the nail on the head because that's what people are asking me as well. And I think that we have to look two directions. One, to Washington. And the president-elect will be sworn in, I think it's on Tuesday, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. And we feel that that is a very important day in the fact that we will see the new president's State of the Union message, and we will see the tone in the marketplace as far as the reception the marketplace and the stock market gives him. It seems like also we need to watch how quickly Congress reacts to legislation. I think that's going to be one key thing on how much of his change agenda gets worked in the first 90 days. If it's not quick, then I think the market's going to take note and struggle. It is alarming when you see companies like Citibank and the big money center banks are having economic troubles. It will be interesting to see how quick new energy legislation, and of course a big part of that energy legislation is going to be renewable energy, and that's where some of the feeling is it's going to bring hope back to the corn market, so to speak. So those are the things that I'm going to be looking for, is the stock market, but also how quick the new president gets in behind the wheel and changes some of the directions that we're seeing.
And we did have the confirmation hearing of USDA agricultural nominee, Tom Vilsack, and he did spend some time today talking about working with farm economies of smaller communities, as well as finding ways to produce more nutritious food to help poor families. But he also has been, in his past, a pretty big champion of corn-based ethanol. And you have to wonder whether or not he will push hard on that particular issue once he is confirmed.
Well, it worked in Iowa. And the farmers in Iowa seem to be pretty prosperous, and they've had a lot of success with ethanol plants in that state. Puts a lot of people to work, making and putting in higher blends from 10% blends up to possibly 12 to 14% is another big factor. So renewable energy, energy grids, those are all key topics that we're hearing, at least in our commodity office and CNBC. So those are the big things that I think that the marketplace is looking for. I think he is, a friend of agriculture, and everybody knows, is that one additional friend we need is our good hometown Ag Bank, and we hope those stay strong in the next 6 months to a year as well.
And for corn to make a move back toward $5, we really need to see demand pick up somewhere along the line.
Well, the equation is there. You know, the three big users, of course, is feed, exports, and ethanol usage, and all three of those areas are just as sick as they can be, and we need to see some prosperity. We will see another word that we're going to see creep into the equation, of course, is inflation in the next 6 months to a year. And that's when I cringe when I hear people about wanting to sell, year two or year three crops. So, I think that'll be a factor. But, boy, we do need some stability, some big pump priming to get this economy moving.
What do you make of the I'm going back to the outside markets.
Sure.
What do you make of the outside markets as they perform through December? Now, today we had yet another set of reports that put an emphasis on how bad December was, and retail sales were down, for example. But moving forward here, do you feel as though that the balance of the recession that we're in will be more short-lived than long-lived? And I know there's been quite a debate about, how far in we are. Everybody seems to suggest, maybe it's about a year, but how much longer it may last is the question.
I think about that about every 20 seconds during the day, Dave. And, my take is that you never sell the U.S. economy short. I've always been very optimistic there. The problem here is I never saw so many people make so many mistakes from Wall Street to the car dealerships and, Main Street. Everybody played their cards horribly wrong, and they got themselves into some financial pinches. It will take some time, and I think it will turn around. A service economy doesn't turn around as fast as the old 1950s and 60s industrial economies, but they have a lot of experience on it. And I want to say that the new administration and Paulson and this new Treasury Secretary are brilliant men. And, we just have to say that I'd like to see a little more cooperation from congressmen and senators out here of letting some of these smarter economists get things going, and I think it will happen, and I just hope that the legislative area zooms along at 60 and 80 miles an hour. So that's what I am scared of, is that the legislative branch just can't get it right.
Thank you much, Paul.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, Canada says it will shelve, for now, its World Trade Organization complaint about rules requiring a country of origin label on meat sold in U.S. grocery stores. Canadian Agriculture Minister Gary Reitz says U.S. revisions to its rules allowing greater flexibility has met Canadian needs for the livestock sector. USDA concerned that a Mexican plan to ban a popular method of bulk packaging for meat products used by U.S. exporters that could make trade more costly is trying to convince Mexico not to go through with it. USDA Deputy Secretary Chuck Connor says he is optimistic the proposed change in packaging specifications would eliminate the use of combo bins and require all meat products be in boxes. Mexico is scheduled to make the packaging rule change by January 31st. Drought-stricken farmers say a dispute that paralyzed Argentine farm exports and sparked a political crisis last year could return in 2009 if the government does not cut export taxes soon. A lack of rain has further weakened Argentina's farming sector, already battered by falling demand for soy, corn, and beef. Argentina's center-left government announced export tax cuts on corn and wheat in December, but farmers slammed the measure because it kept levies unchanged on Argentina's top agricultural export, soy. Argentina officials today say there is no room to start negotiations aimed at lowering taxes. Cargill posted a 25% increase in fiscal second quarter net income on continuing gains in its fertilizer business amid significant contributions from its majority stake in one of that industry's biggest players, Mosaic Company. Cargill said net income jumped to $1.19 billion for the quarter ending November 30th from $954 million a year earlier. Cargill says excluding Mosaic, results fell moderately. Mosaic said last week its fiscal second quarter net income more than doubled on higher selling prices and a gain on the sale of a business, offsetting lower sales volumes and an inventory write-off. A new straw poll of producers at the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual meeting shows 72% of the respondents do not believe the Obama administration will be responsive to their needs. But Farm Bureau President Bob Stallman says that while there was uncertainty over Obama's policy on environmental regulation and how it will affect agriculture, the president-elect made several positive comments toward agriculture during the campaign. Stallman says, quote, "I am not that pessimistic personally. I think the concern that farmers have right now is about the unknown. As a candidate, Obama supported further reform in the farm community, including a $250,000 a year cap on payments and an end to loopholes that allow big farmers to evade payment limits." And European Parliament members voted on Tuesday to ban some of the most toxic and dangerous pesticides to human health. The move, likely to be endorsed by EU ministers in upcoming weeks, would let groups of countries with similar geography and climate decide whether farmers may use specific products. A list of EU-approved active substances will be drawn up, with certain highly toxic chemicals to be banned unless their effect can be shown to be safe. That list will provide the basis for national EU governments to license each pesticide. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities, hosting planning seminars January 14th in Valparaiso, Indiana, January 17th in West Lafayette, Indiana, January 19th in Mount Carmel, Illinois, January 20th in Hoopston, Illinois, January 21st in Rensselaer, Indiana, and January 22nd in Lima, Ohio.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons in Delphi Climbers, Indiana. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
You trying to stay warm?
Trying to stay warm and digging ourselves out of the parking lot here this afternoon to get home.
Yeah, what, about 4 inches over there?
Yeah, about 4 inches. It's still coming down, and there's wind behind this front. I'm sure you guys are probably already in the Champaign now that it's probably going to blow this white powdery stuff all around tonight.
So I don't suppose much needs to be said. You're not taking much corn in right now.
No, I was actually been surprised by the amount of guys who want to get out in this weather and move grain today. But you can definitely tell that about the middle of yesterday is when it kind of started snowing and whatnot. You can definitely tell our receipts about noon yesterday on has just dropped off.
What have farmers been saying ever since Monday when they saw the board drop the limit?
The conversations are short at best. They don't want to talk to us. Most guys really aren't in the mood to move anything. For right now, nobody really has a need to move anything or wants to move anything. They're filling their January 2 arrived contracts, and after that, they are locking that bin up and probably not going to tell us, at least, that they're not going to open up until they at least see $4 cash corn again.
So $4 cash corn on the board, that means basis is going to have to go some.
Yeah, basically got to go some. I mean, here in the last week here in Climbers, I've increased my basis just 4 cents, and that's probably a little bit on the low end of what I see in the Indiana processors with basis strengthening out to the east quite a bit more than what I've seen here.
So $4 on the board. And what about the beans? Are they looking for a $10 bill?
$10 bill on the beans. It seems like when guys here, when we had that little rally at the late December, if guys hadn't moved something, they were moving beans. We had some processors that were starting to perk up their bases at the end of the December, early January time frame. And, you know, you could lock in some $10 cash numbers, 10 and a quarter cash numbers in, and a lot of producers jumped on that and probably moved a fair amount of their beans in. And then now they're sitting on it. Like, and exactly right. They need $10 minimum, I think, to hold their beans, and they might just hold those into the summer thinking that the processors are going to have to pry them away from their hands.
Well, how full up is your facility, and what is your best business play there?
You know, we still have quite a bit of space. We filled up during harvest, but then after harvest, guys really weren't moving much. So we ground down inventory at the end of November and into December with the idea that we're going to fill it back up here in January, February, first half March before guys get into the field. So far, that's going fine. Would have helped a lot better if we had another 40 to 50 cents on this board. So we really didn't need to see the movement that happened this week. So, I mean, us included, and I know there's plants already out in the eastern part of Indiana looking at, but doing some type of a basis program, or excuse me, some type of a DP program, either free DP or a very cheap DP program, just to get guys who need a, you know, just physically they have to, or logistically-wise, they have to move bushels, at least move them into our facility and give them the opportunity to price at a later date.
Are producers beginning to say anything about their intentions for the new year?
You know, once here before Monday, we thought we were going to hold on to some corn acres. And now after talking to everybody since Monday, they're a little fed up, I think, with the volatility in this market. And, you know, they are all about planting beans right now.
Go ahead and give us your prices then, please.
Today, at the close today, for Climbers Corn, we're going to be at $3.64, and Delphi beans on the cash side at $9.56.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you, Dave.
That is Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons, and he is at Delphi Climbers in Indiana. It's National Hot Pastrami Sandwich Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1784, the Continental Congress ratified the Treaty of Paris, officially establishing the independence of the new United States and establishing its borders. Signed in Paris on September 3rd of 1783 and negotiated for the U.S. by John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and John Jay, the agreement between the American colonies and Great Britain ended the American Revolution. In 1861, David Wesson was born. An American chemist, he created Wesson oil early in the 20th century. He experimented with purifying cottonseed oil, developed a system in 1900 to make the pure oil palatable, and formed the Southern Oil Company to market it. Wesson worked from 1901 to 1911 on a process for hydrogenating cottonseed oil. Cottonseed oil was the first vegetable oil used in the U.S. In 1885, Benjamin Silliman Jr. died, an American chemist. His report on the potential uses of crude oil products gave impetus to plans for drilling the first producing oil well in the U.S. in Pennsylvania. He noted its potential use as a lubricant, and he found it capable of withstanding extremely high and low temperatures and able to keep its form after long use. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I guess the pertinent feature for tonight across the Corn Belt is cold weather.
Yeah, boy, is it. This is about the right time of the year that we get the coldest air of the season, so everything's on target in that sense. So if you want to be optimistic about something, maybe you can sit back and tell yourself that this is as cold as it's going to get, maybe. And we're not done with the cold air after this, but I think we may not see one quite this nasty for a little while. We are expecting temperatures to fall almost for 24 hours. We'll bottom out somewhere around 0 degrees, or actually below zero for a big part of the listening area. I think we'll see that 0 degree line dropping down deeply into Missouri, deeply into Illinois, and on down towards the Ohio River. We're going to see single-digit readings down in Kentucky and Tennessee, the northern parts of the Delta, and even teens down in the southeastern states. So this is no nonchalant cold air mass. It's going to have quite an impact. A lot of stress for livestock. We've got a little bit of snow and blowing snow occurring across parts of the Midwest at this hour, and it's going to continue to work its way through the eastern part of the Midwest, probably finishing up here tonight. But the cold air will be settling in tomorrow morning for the coldest readings in the western Corn Belt, and for Friday morning in the east. We are still worried a little bit about some potential winter kill for some of the soft wheat produced in Missouri and southern Illinois, where there's not likely to be much in the way of significant snow cover. I really doubt seriously we're going to have a serious impact on the crop. So a few fields may be damaged, but of course we won't even be able to assess it until springtime comes around.
Let's turn our attention to South America today. AgriFNP reduced its forecast of the season's corn crop in Brazil to 48.4 million from 52.17 million metric tons. That was the December forecast, confirming what we've been saying all along, dry.
Yeah, that's right. And it was dry there for quite a while in Brazil, although that has not really been the case for the last few weeks. We've done a good job in moistening up the ground in quite a few areas. In fact, I'd say that from a soybean perspective, we're still looking at full production potentials in many areas. Only a few spots in Paraná that might have been hurt earlier on, and also in Rio Grande that are still struggling for moisture, are the only areas that I think that are going to have a negative yield relative to their normal. But that's, of course, assuming that everything stays as it is through the rest of the growing season, and which goes for quite a little while yet. Most of Brazil, though, is getting timely rainfall, and soil moisture is absolutely perfect, and so there's going to be an ongoing good environment for the crops in that country. Argentina, of course, is the sore spot, and there's a lot of problems in the corn production area in Argentina. Some of these areas to the east and south of Cordoba have really not seen much meaningful rainfall in quite a few weeks, and it is dry both at the top and subsoil levels, and these crops are certainly seriously stressed right now.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's closing market report. Remember, you can listen to all of our agricultural broadcasts on the web. Go to WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.